This is Open to Hope Radio, featuring Dr. Gloria Horsley and her daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley, coming to you on behalf of the Open to Hope Foundation, dedicated to those who are looking for hope after loss. Now, here's Dr. Gloria.
Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley. Well, good morning, Heidi, in California, and afternoon in New York,
yep,
right?
Yes, I'm here in New York. It's 2:50 p.m., so it's kind of in the afternoon.
Right. Well, it's September 1st that we're playing the show, so people are getting ready to go back to school or maybe already have. So that can be a tough time, we know, for a lot of you, and a time, you know, of change. Any kind of change is kind of tough, I think, the fall or whatever, don't you, Heidi?
Yeah, because I think you're kind of getting ready for school, buying kids' clothes, et cetera, and kind of getting in that mindset and thinking about school. And if you've lost a child or a sibling, it kind of brings that loss back up. So, yeah, I think it can be really hard.
Absolutely. Well, we've got a great guest today, Heidi, and you can probably introduce him better than I can because you've heard him speak at TAPS, right?
Yeah, actually, I haven't heard him speak, but I'm really excited to have him on, and I actually wish I could have said hello. So, hi again, Jerry. I didn't have time to really say hello to him because we were kind of rushed, but, yes, I'm very excited to have Jerry Yellen on today, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, and he has such an amazing background, but the reason that I know Jerry is because of Bonnie Carroll, who, you know, is the founder of TAPS, and which is the Tragedy Assistance Program for military families of survivors that have died in the military, and she got connected with Jerry, and he did a big event at the Met recently in, I think, December, right, Jerry?
December 13th.
December 13th with all sorts of stars, Richard Gere, and there was all sorts of movie stars there. Talking about the importance of meditation, and he'll tell us more about that today, but he has got a really incredible background. Jerry was an Army Air Corps, a P-51 pilot in World War II. He flew 19 missions over Japan. He is the author of The Resilient Warrior, Healing the Hidden Wounds of War, and he's got a lot of other honors and things that he's done, and what he's doing now is working with vets around PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and talking about the benefits of meditation, and he also talks about his own journey, and kind of having the Japanese as enemies as he's fighting, you know, in the war, et cetera, but then fast forward into his life now where one of his sons married somebody from Japan and lives in Japan, and he kind of made peace with someone in Japan. He can talk to us more about that, making peace with people that you fought against at one point, and how he was able to find peace and forgiveness, and how he's now reaching out to vets and helping them through their own journey. So, Jerry, we're very honored to have you on, so welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be here, Heidi. I know you have a great audience, a large audience, and they're all interested in helping other people, and that's what my life is about now. My story began on December 7th, 1941. I was a high school graduate, and I was attacked. My country was attacked by the Japanese at Pearl Harbor. I made up my mind that I wanted to enlist and fly against the Japanese, but you had to have 2 years of college. So on my 18th birthday, February 15th, 1942, I took the papers to the military, Army Air Corps, dropped them off, was asked to come back for physical and mental, and passed the exams and entered the service as an aviation cadet when I was 18 years old in August of 1942, and graduated from flying school as a fighter pilot when I was 19 in August of 1943, joined the 78th Fighter Squadron in Hawaii to get more training, and eventually stayed with the 78th, and on March 7th, 1945, my squadron flew to Iwo Jima, which was under attack by the American Marines. 67,000 Marines landed on Iwo Jima, and they fought or were fighting 23,000 Japanese, 90,000 soldiers fighting on 8 square miles of land, and 28,000 bodies spread around the island, and I flew with 16 guys that didn't come back and was a squadron commander, squadron leader, not a commander, but a squadron leader, and cocky pilot with a mission in my life. And then when August 14th and the war ended, I came home and I had nothing. The excitement of war, the ability to fly, the airplanes that I flew, the companions that I had, the 16 guys that died were always on my mind. And so I wandered for quite a number of years until I learned transcendental meditation.
You know, when you tell this story, and I'm thinking about our audience out there who has had a stress event, you know, many for war, and I know you work with people who are veterans, but you know, there are those people out there who have had accidents, seen family members die, been in the car, been whatever, are replaying these stories, these traumatic events, and I know you had talked about in your book, which is a wonderful book, The Resilient Warrior, about the fact that you didn't talk about it. And I think that maybe there's more, you know, maybe your recommendation would be for people to talk about it and not hold these things in about what happened to them.
Well, I didn't talk about the war. How can you talk about the war?
People don't want to hear about it either, do they?
Well, no, they don't. And, you know, when I came home, Heidi, I listened to guys talking about that experience, and I knew that they were never in combat. You just can't talk about it. I went to Japan reluctantly in 1983. 1983 was, you know, a number of years after the war, 40 years after the war, and when I served. And I didn't want to go to Japan. Japan wasn't a place that I wanted to visit. The Japanese weren't human beings. And I think most of my generation felt the same way, but I did go on a business trip, and I was shocked by what I saw. And on the last night that we were there, my wife Helene said that our youngest son Robert, who was a senior at San Diego State, would like Japan. He said she'd love it. So we gave him a graduation present of a trip to Japan in the summer of 1983. He graduated from college in the spring of 1984. Didn't know what he wanted to do, so he took a one-year job teaching English in Japan, and he left in October of 1984. And he hasn't come back yet. And, you know, he's met a woman in 1987. He introduced us to this woman in Japan and told us he was going to get married. And I asked, well, what does her father think? And he said, well, Mr. Yamakawa won't meet me. And it took 6 months for Takako to arrange a meeting between Robert and Takako's father and two of her older brothers. And they were grilled. Robert was grilled mercilessly by this family about his spiritual religion, his economics, his family, his background. And Mr. Yamakawa didn't say a word. And when he spoke, he said, how old is your father? And Robert said, 63. Was he in the war? Yes. What did he do? He was a fighter pilot. What did he fly? P-51s. And he said, where? Over Japan. And that was the end of the meeting. And this man went back home to his wife and said, make the wedding. And she said, why? You hate the Americans. You hate them. And he said, any man who could fly a P-51 against the Japanese and live must be a brave man, and I want the blood of that man to flow through the veins of our grandchildren.
Wow.
And so the wedding was held on March 5th, 1988, and we went to the wedding, and we met this man and his family, and we spent 3 hours with a translator. And when it was all over, Mr. Yamakawa said to the translator that he never knew that there were other people in other parts of the world that felt the same way about education, family, culture. And it was explained to me in English, and I felt the same way. So we bonded, and we're a family. And I have now three wonderful Japanese grandchildren, 120, 118, and 150.
That's an amazing story. Well, tell me, you know, I know in reading The Resilient Warrior that, you know, it really, one of the things that I think our audience should know out there is that not dealing with these things can take a toll. You were talking about the toll that it took on you and your family and other people until you learned how to deal with it through transcendental meditation. And we could talk about that a little
right.
bit. But it does take a toll on you if you don't do something about it, doesn't it?
My healing began, really my healing began, when I came home from the wedding and I started to write. Well, all that my family knew was that I was a fighter pilot and I flew over Japan and that I bailed out of an airplane, spent 9 hours in the Pacific, and was picked up. And now I wanted to tell them a story, so I wrote a book called Of War and Weddings. And that was helped me get over. That was a catharsis for me, writing of the book. But Operation Warrior Wellness, which I'm involved with David Lynch and Clint Eastwood and Dr. Oz and George Lucas and Martin Scorsese, a lot of people from Hollywood support us. But it got started last year in February when a young friend of mine, who was an Army veteran of Bosnia, committed suicide.
Mm.
And his mother called me and asked me if I would fix his uniform so he could be buried in his uniform. And I was all shook up with that. So David Lynch agreed to start Operation Warrior Wellness to help the veterans.
And because David Lynch is a person who trains people in transcendental meditation, right?
He's a movie producer and teaches disadvantaged children, 150,000 disadvantaged children in schools all over the world, homeless people, and incarcerated people, and now veterans.
Okay.
Families. Incidentally, the lady, Lynn Clark, who called me to tell me about Dory, her son, learned how to meditate 3 months ago. And for the first time in a year, she became a human being again. And she just made a beautiful, beautiful video, which will be on our website when the site goes up next month.
So Jerry, back to the meditation. I know you said it has been life-changing for you and for people you're working with. Tell us more about that, because I know there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, okay, what's the minimum I have to do it? How do I get started in this? I mean, it sounds
well,
amazing.
Transcendental meditation is not something you can learn by a book or a DVD. It takes 6 to 8 months for an instructor to be instructed in this ancient warrior tradition. Meditation is what the samurais used and to make them as great as they were. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you think, which was, you know, you could say, people have said to me, well, that's a religious thing. And I said, no, it's not a religion. It's not what you think. It's how you think. It's how the brain functions. And it puts, when you meditate, you're given a sound, a mantra, in a special manner. And you use that sound to take you into the deep state of restful awakeness. And your body is resting, your mind is active or inactive, it depends. Sometimes it stays active, sometimes it goes inactive. But you meditate for 20 minutes twice a day, and it connected me with myself. It gave me the opportunity to look at who I was and who I should have become. And I have become that person from the day that I learned in 1975. I was an addict for 30 years, not a drug addict, not an alcoholic addict, but a golf addict. And the addiction that I had gave me the only relief that I had from the stress of war. And Dr. Oz says, he put this on the back of my book, stress causes anger, violent behavior, depression, and transcendental meditation takes the anger, the violent behavior, and the depression away from the individuals.
Now,
we have a program with the David Lynch Foundation that teaches American Indians. And we met a 14-year-old American Indian not too long ago. And he told my wife, when I learned how to meditate, I saw my soul. So it's a very deep and beautiful procedure for everybody.
Now, how can I find this? Here I am, I'm listening to you, I'm saying, okay.
Go to a website called tm.org. Or you can go to the DavidLynchFoundation.org website and get information about it. You can go into a phone book, especially in Manhattan, and look up TM organization, and you can call. or out in San Francisco, Palo Alto, where Gloria is. There are people out there, and they give introductory lectures. They don't cost anything, and talk about transcendental meditation.
Okay, and how can I get your books? You've got more than one, right?
I have four books. The three of them are on Amazon.com.
What are the three?
The books are entitled Of War and Weddings, The Blackened Canteen, The Letter, and The Resilient Warrior, Healing the Hidden Wounds of War. And that can only be bought at this moment from TotalRecallPress.com. One word, TotalRecallPress.com. It'll be on Amazon in the next week or two, I hope.
All right. Well, Jerry, thank you so much for being on the show today and for all you're doing. And I know there are a lot of people out there who are very stressed that this is going to be a life changer for them.
Thank you so much, Gloria, Heidi. Speak to you again.
All righty.
Thanks,
bye,
Jerry,
bye,
for all the work you're doing with the vets and for helping make the world a better place.
Thank you.
Thanks. Tune in again next week to the Open to Hope Show and visit us on our website, opentohope.com.
You've been listening to Open to Hope Radio, hosted by Drs. Gloria and Heidi Horsley. Like today's edition, all of our past programs are available on demand at opentohope.com, along with helpful articles, videos, resources, and links to help get you through the toughest time of your life. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter and sign up for our monthly newsletter. Again, that's opentohope.com. Check it out today. Then be sure to stop by next Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time when we'll be posting another edition of Open to Hope Radio. Remember, others have been where you are. They made it through, and you can too, as long as you're open to hope.